pivotal for this church and prophetic for where God wants his church to become. There's been a lot that has infiltrated the church that is not spirit-led, but it is man-made and contrived to look like God's there. And what happens is we take on a form of godliness, but there's no power, no power. And so that's why when you begin to talk about church and you begin to talk about church growth, you cannot measure church growth all the time by numbers. You can't. Because Jesus will weed out people who are not for him. That's why when the Bible is very specific, there's no gray line with Jesus. You're for me or against me. You're gathering or you're scattering. And so we've got to be careful when it comes to church growth and it becomes to what is God doing in the church at large. God is building his church upon his son through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe he's bringing the church back to that. Somewhere along the way, man got in the way and started making it about them. And what God is doing now is that God is removing that and bringing the Spirit of God back to front and center. That's why churches are not full like you think they should be full. Because Jesus is looking for the real ones, the real ones. And furthermore, is that it's not about filling up churches anymore, because he's called you to be a light in a dark world and to go out into the world and preach the gospel and be a light. Houses, I believe God wants his houses to be filled, but God's not so much concerned about filling up his house when there are things going on outside in the community where you should be. And I think some of the times we get it wrong and we think that, well, God's not doing it because, you know, I don't see a lot of people at church. You are the church. You are the church. So revival could happen wherever you go, wherever you go. And I'm telling you this because we need to have a little shift in mindset, is that my biggest evangelistic field right now is my daughter's cheerleading team. Where's my influence right now? It's where has God placed you? Where's God placed you? And so are you being the light there? And so I want to encourage you to look at that and not so get caught up in the bondage of church and the religion of church as a building and realize that you are the church wherever you go and that the Spirit of God is with you wherever you go. You change the atmosphere where you are. Have church where you are. And so God has been faithful, and I believe that God is growing this house and he's growing this church, but he's growing people first. And there are two things that God said last year and that he said, listen, in 2023, this is what I'm going to tell you. And I want you to remind him again, you're going deeper in me and your influence is going to be wider, wider. It's not going the other way first. You're not going wider and then you're going to go deeper with me. We're going deeper first and then I'm going to spread you out because I have to be first. And I believe he's restoring that back to the church. And I'm excited about that because I feel real power in that, because it's not about numbers. It's about, what is the Spirit of God asking you to do? There's a few things I want to bring about this book of Galatians. And we're going to be in chapter 3, only a few verses today. But I think it's very pivotal for you because I believe that God wants to push some of you out of your stuckness today. Your stuckness. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 says, before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. Verse 25, and now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as a guardian. You are no longer under law. Some of you are asking yourself, what does this have to do with being spirit-led, and what does it have to do with church? Because I never heard of the book of Galatians before. And so what does this verse actually mean? We're going to do a little school today. You can understand something about Jesus is that before Jesus came was the law. That's why when you look in the Old Testament, there were over 600 laws that the Israelites had to follow. Not because they were perfect, but because God was perfect and God was trying to get them to see, because of sin, all these things have to be satisfied, have to be satisfied. And the law was there to magnify sin, to let you know that there was no possible way in your own human strength that you were going to be able to accomplish all these requirements on your own. It's impossible. It's impossible. That's why when Jesus came, the Bible said that Jesus came to fulfill the law. So when you look at all those laws that were written in the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments and what was taking place, all those are summed up in two now. Two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The first five of the Ten Commandments deal with God. The second deal with your neighbor. He said, listen, we're going to deal with it this way. We're going to simplify it. And I'm going to come and I'm going to fulfill the law and eradicate all those things. So now you know I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The law was there as a garden. It protected you, so to speak. But now that I came, the law has been abolished. I have fulfilled it. Now I'm your guardian. I'm your guardian. So when we talk about who do you follow, I follow Jesus. It has nothing to do with how much I do for Jesus. That's not what salvation is. Salvation is what Jesus did for us. My response now and the way I live my life is because of him saving me. I'm not trying to do to get into heaven. I'm doing because I know that faith without works is dead, and it's impossible for me to call myself a Christian and there not to be some sort of act of faith in my life, some sort of forward movement. Jesus did not come so you could just stay stuck. He came to set you free so you can keep moving. And Paul even said this. He said, shall I keep on sinning that grace may abound? Absolutely not. You're saved, but you're being saved, and it's a process, and the grace that God gives you is an overcoming grace, so you overcome and go from faith to faith and glory to glory, not to stay stuck. God's grace is not a license for you to do whatever you want. And I would propose to you that if you live that way, that you are trampling on the grace of God, and that you're abusing the grace of God, and that I question your salvation. Because you can't say you love God and then spit in his face by the way you live your life. Because you're not justified by works. You are justified by faith. That's number one. You're justified by faith in Jesus, not by faith in what you do, by faith in Jesus. So when the Bible says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I am righteous because of what Jesus has done. And now my life is hidden with him in God. And so the life I live now, I live by faith that I have in Jesus, not in myself. Why is this important? Because many people are trying to do for God without actually being with God and understanding who God is. And people are trying to figure out some sort of formula and some sort of ritual in order to serve God. And it's really simple. Jesus asked, will you follow me? Not based upon how good you are, because let's be honest, you know you're not that good. You woke up this morning and your first thought was not Jesus. You were thinking about other things. My first thought this morning wasn't necessarily about Jesus. It doesn't nullify that Jesus is still good. It shows the fact that God is still good in spite of me not keeping him at the center all the time. If you don't know you by now and you don't know that God's grace is sufficient in spite of you, we're missing the point. It has nothing to do with your goodness. It has everything to do with God's goodness that propels us to want to be better. I'm not justified by my works. I'm justified by faith. And on the flip side, I work at it because I know what Jesus has done and that faith and works working together produce something. And so if you are under the mindset that I've got to clean up before I get to God, you are missing out on the process of sanctification. He cleans you as you go. And he asks you to walk with him. And as you walk with him, he does the work with you. I'm not justified by my work, Sharon. I'm justified by faith. You know it's been God's grace that has gotten you this far. Why do we have to talk about this? Because we miss the point a lot about who God is, because we get in this fantasy world with God that says, well, I got to do more for God, then God will be pleased. God's already pleased because of his son. Do you understand that? God is already pleased because of his son. I please God by the way I live my life continually. If God is pricking you in your conscience, listen, because there are certain things that God will not allow you to do because it's not pleasing to him. How do I know that I'm in relationship with God? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And I know that when the Spirit of God is moving, I can feel it inside. How do I know Alexi's my kid? One, she looks like me. Two, there's a connection that's there by blood. We've got a blood connection. How do I know that I'm a child of God? There's a blood connection because of what Jesus has done. And that my old life is gone and my new life is now. So when I walk by faith. I don't walk by sight anymore. I don't walk like the world walks because now I have faith in Jesus, because most of the time I can't see. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. And I'm getting somewhere with this, and you're going to appreciate this by the end. I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. That's why when God asks you to do something, a lot of the times he asks you to do something and not look at it. Just don't look at it. If you do look at it, you're not going to do it. Because you're going to count up in your head all the ways that it does not make sense. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take faith right out of the equation, and you're not going to step out. But it's me who's asking you to do it. I'm asking you to do it. And I'm going to ask you to do it because it requires faith. That's why the walk with Christ is a walk with Christ. It requires faith. It requires something of you. You can't just live like you want to live. When Jesus says it's time to walk, your response is either yes or no. But in the response, it determines your level of faith. If you continue to say yes to Jesus, Jesus will take you from faith to faith and glory to glory. But let's go a little bit deeper than that. Even though when you say no, you're still going. Because you're not your own anymore. You were bought with a price. And Jesus said, I have rights to your life because I gave my life for you. I bought you with my life. You're mine. So when I ask you for something, I'm not asking you for something that's not mine. It already is mine. Just give me it. And that's why some people struggle even with their kids. That's my kid. It's not your kid. And the faster you can release your kids, the better you're going to be. You've been given an opportunity to do life with them. You are not them, and you are not God. So when I release outcomes and I say, God, they're yours, all of a sudden I can enjoy life because I don't have to helicopter them and try to fix their problems and their issues, because there's someone who can catch them and there's someone who can be with them and bring them back to center if need be. I'm grateful for the gifts that God has given me, but I have to know who the gift giver is. I have to know. Because that gift giver still wants a relationship with me. So if giving you a gift, Sean, takes the place of your relationship with God, is God going to give it to you? Probably not. He died for you personally, and so he wants a relationship with you personally. And that, when you get that revelation, all of a sudden your life begins to take off in a new direction, because you know that if God is faithful with me, God is going to be faithful with them. And that if God is faithful with them, we know that all things work together for good to them to love God and were called according to his purpose. Then we can start to live free and not have to worry about control. I got to control. And you're driving yourself crazy. How do I know I'm walking free? Less control. I'm not saying not have self-control, but less control. And you know what that looks like. If you've walked with God any length of time and you know his goodness, you know when you start getting in the way. Because the control part of you, the control arm, comes up and tries to control everything. Push the button. That's got to be up and down. No, the hair is going to be in a bun. No, it's a barrette. No, you're not wearing those shorts. No, it's vegan. No, it's not. You're not doing that. You're going to bed at 9, not 9:30. I'm not tired. Go to bed. And all you're stressed out. Control. Control. Because when you're out of control, the first thing you want to do is control. And that's how you know God's at work. You're out of control, but no, I got to control it. Step away. Control is an illusion. If you think you have it wrapped and you got it, I've got it whooped. I know what my life's going to be like. I know where I'm going to be at 30. And at 40, I'm going to be here. You could just say yes, but maybe, but no. No, it's just not happening. You know, when you're young, man, you can do anything you want. You can't. You're never going to play basketball, man. You suck something awful. You can't hit a shot. You're not playing basketball, man. Sorry. God's got something else for you. You cannot do anything that you want. And you cannot plan your life out and think your life is going to turn out the way you want it to turn out. God directs it. God directs it. Oh, I didn't see that tunnel coming. What do you do when the tunnel comes up and you didn't plan on the tunnel, but you got to go through that tunnel? What are you going to rely on then? Your wits, your good looks? When all that sort of, when all the stuff that you rely on, when something real happens and when it really matters, really doesn't matter when you're battling for your life and your faith and you say, Lord, if you don't come through, I'm going to end it. You don't realize the gravity of what life is and how fragile it is and how important your faith is to when something real comes up and the enemy's at you and you're having to figure out whether or not it's worth following Jesus. All that other stuff, all that Instagram, all the social media doesn't mean nothing. Jesus, what do you want? It's real stuff. But we don't talk about that because we come in all dressed up, got it together, we smell good, everything's good, realizing that this morning you thought about, you know, what if I just said no? Real life. What if I decided to stop? Because in reality, I'm not seeing what I want to see. And let's just be honest, if you're a good God, how come you're not moving faster? And I got to build up my faith and declare your goodness when I don't want to, when I keep running around the same thing. Let's be honest. It's not all about roses, and Sunday morning isn't the best day of the week for everybody. And I know we like to talk about it, and we like to pray, and praise that Jesus is good. But the reality of it is that people are broken, they're struggling, and they're trying to take steps with Jesus when they cannot see. But when you do it, your faith is built up, and you realize that God's good, and you can keep going. But if you don't talk about the reality of the gospel, Maria, you give people a false sense of security about what Christianity is. He saved me. He did. But he is saving me. Why? Because my life is always in trouble. And it's quiet. You know why? Because it hits home. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. Because you don't realize how far you've come, one, and what comes at you. And what you have to wrestle with, you got that beauty side of you, but you also got the beast side of you. Then you got to wrestle with that thing and try to tame that thing down. So all of a sudden it doesn't come out at the wrong time. You're trying to talk to people about Jesus, but you're cussing them out in your head. Sorry, hold on, time to take a thought captive. But you know, he's got a good plan for you. Come on, you know it's true. He cussing them out and you're just, man, we're praying, God's good. In your head, you're like, man, if I ain't Jesus, I need Jesus. My faith is in Jesus. Because if not, that other side's going to come out and we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because I already know it's bad. If I let it out, it's bad. You thought that was bold. There are certain things that if Jesus did not, we'd have some problems. You need Jesus to help satisfy the inner desire, but also help control the appetite of the flesh. Because that flesh, you know why? Because this, the more you move with Jesus and the more the Spirit of God is doing something, the more the flesh kicks. I can't rely on myself anymore. And those little kickstands get kicked out, and now you need Jesus more. And you're walking around trying to find Jesus, but he's kicking stuff out. And you're like, there's a realness to this gospel. It's a real faith. Second thing is this. Are you playing it safe? Lord, don't ask me. Don't ask me, because what we do is we fall in love with a mountain. We fall in love with it, Lord, and the Lord says, time to move. I know what it took to get me here. Jesus is like, but there's another mountain we got to get to. Because remember, it's faith to faith. And it's going to be narrow. We're going to start walking again. And the Lord will give you some time, but the time's up. And what she said was pivotal. I want you to pay attention to that one part. And she said, listen, I couldn't see. Clouds would come in, but it would disappear, and then it would reappear. You know what kind of focus you need? And trust to believe that even though you can't see, that someone is there. And what Jesus is asking you to do is to start walking again. It's going to require more faith this time. And you might be saying to yourself, I used all that faith up last season. No, but you got to, no, it's going to be more. Now we got to go this way. And this is what you got to understand about the road across. It's not easy. It's not easy because, number one, it's narrow. narrow. But the risk of falling is great. And you got to pay attention to where you're going. All that stuff you used before is good. But Jesus is saying now, listen, this is going to be a little more difficult. I need you to trust me. And what's so key about what she said was, is that it would reappear. And this is what Jesus does. As you start to walk, clouds come in. You got to deal with precipitation. You got to deal with birds of prey. You got to deal with the unknown. And you don't know what you're doing. But all you got to know is I'm walking one step at a time. It's swinging below me. My fears are coming up against me. My past is trying to slap me in the face. But Jesus is saying, keep walking. And at the right time, Jesus will reappear and say, I got you. I got you. This is what he does. For all y'all trying to figure out where Jesus is, he's there. But sometimes the clouds obscure the view. Sometimes the rain hinders what you can see. Sometimes you have to deal with stuff on the outside that's trying to knock you off. But you got to know that Jesus is still there. Do you have enough faith to believe that he is still there in spite of what you see? Well, I want to be used by God. Start walking. Are you playing it safe? And this is what people do, especially when they start to feel out of control. They start to control what they don't know or think they know. And instead of really opening up to God and saying, I'm available and going, despite the risks, they end up stifling their progress because they're comfortable. This is what this woman does for a living. This is the Christian walk. Oh, no, it's not, brother. No, this is the Christian walk. No, it's not. It's about the parables. It's about sowing seed. It's about saying, bless you, brother. It's about loving your enemies. It's about singing in church. It's about banging your tambourine. It's about no, it's not. It's about walking into the unknown. It's about strapping up and saying, oh, I guess we got to do this and start walking, even though everything is shaking around you. But knowing that Jesus is there, I can see Jesus. I can see him. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. It's me. Okay. Okay. How's your balance? I'm good. I'm solid until the unknown hits and all of a sudden all over the place, all over. I don't know. Is he good? Is he not good? Here's the thing. You can't look back on that line. You understand that? You can't. Oh, hold up. You slip. That's what happens when you look back. You can't afford to look back when you're up in the air and you're walking from one level of faith to another level of faith. Most of the time, Lord's like, don't even look back. Don't look back. There's nothing there. And what you do is you got to keep pace. You got to keep pace. And you got to come against that fear that tries to paralyze you and says you can't take another step because of the surroundings. Because, guys, there was more risk of falling than making it. That's why he says narrows the road. It's tight. And Jesus is so good. He stays back at the other mountain, knowing that you're crossing to the other side. He won't let you go back. He'll keep poking you back out. There's nothing back here. You already won that victory. It's time for another one. This is what the walk is. And he's such a good teacher. He remains in your victories. He's in your present, but he also knows what's in your future. So that's why you can look back at certain areas of your life and praise God for that freedom, praise God for that victory, but don't stay there. But know that he's faithful. He's going to get you to this next one. And he's so good that he'll keep poking you back out. And God has a long finger. And like a good teacher, he waits for you to go. And you may want to look back, but there's coming a time in the body where God says, enough looking back. Enough. There are certain places you can't go on your head anymore. So you've got to understand that if the victory's already been purchased for you and you've already won it with Jesus, there's no reopening that. Why do you want to reopen the vault? Why would you want to go back in anxiety? You know what it took to get you there? Why would you want to go back through that? It's already done. Let's keep moving this way. Okay, yes, sir. I'm moving this way. I'm not going back. I'm going to keep moving. But are you okay with that movement? Are you okay with the unknown, knowing that there's risks here? But are you willing to risk it because you know that there's another mountain? I'm willing to risk it if there's another mountain. If there's nothing there, I'm not going. I'm not going. But I see another mountain, and I see it. I can see it in my spirit. The Lord's been dealing with me about it. I can see it. All right, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to do it because God's been faithful, because I want to exercise my faith. Some years ago, we were in Tennessee, and we went skiing with a young adult group. And we were up on the mountain, and I was skiing with someone. And I'm not a professional skier. I'm not a professional skier. I like the thrill of just going down, seeing how fast I can go. Okay? I do a little slalom here and there. But, you know, I'm not the greatest skier. But I can make it down some blues. Everyone knows green, blue, blacks. Everybody knows that. Double blacks. I can make it down some blues, and I was making it down some blues, which were good. But we went down, and we got off the lift, and we went down. And, of course, you know, that day you're feeling, you're with people. You're like, you don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of people on the slopes that day. So you're going down, and all of a sudden you're going down. I'm going down at some speed. I'm like, where's the speed coming from? I am flying down this thing, flying. You can do two things. You can keep going down the blue, or there was a little pivot off to a black right here. I was coming down so fast, I didn't have time to decide what I was going to do. So I made the turn in the black. I made the turn in the black. And all of a sudden, probably within about 2 or 3 seconds, my ski caught the side of the mountain like this. And my back ripped up against the side of the mountain, shredding my bib like this. I ended up on the ground. Didn't know what really happened. I kind of felt what happened. And then I had to come up with a toboggan. Take me down. I'm being taken down like a toboggan on this mountain. Just like, what's this kid doing? They said my eyes on the back of my head. I don't feel like they were back of my head. But I was just, they took me down to the back, down to the mountain. My body was wrecked. Now, a couple of things I want to tell you about this. I recovered after 6-7 weeks. It was fine. Okay. Body finally came back to normal. Speaking again, I was good. So, but they hung my bib up in the cabin just as a reminder, just to be funny. How it was all shredded, just hung there. And every time they go by, they laugh at it. I learned a couple things. You got to respect the mountain. I'm not talking about a physical mountain. You got to respect the mountain that you're on right now and that you climbed. You got to respect it. Know what it took to get you there. And a lot of times what we do is that we look at our life and we look at what we've accomplished and we're not probably as proud as we should be. And we throw away that confidence that we have to know of what you actually did to get there. And here's the deal. There's two things you got to realize when you walk with Jesus. Number one, you got to put him first. But two is that you got to respect the place where you're at. Respect it. Don't cast it aside like it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. It is a big deal that I'm still standing here today. It is a big deal that I have 2 kids who love Jesus. It is a big deal that I'm fighting and I'm overcoming in my life. It is a big deal of what God is taking me through. And the enemy to try to minimize your victories and try to get you to throw away your confidence. Ah, it's not a big deal. You probably should sell yourself short. Don't be as bold. No, it is a big deal of what God has done. It is a big deal that God has been faithful. It is a big deal that I survived my divorce. It is a big deal that I made it as far. It is a big deal. And the Lord will remind you of that. Just, hey, just so you know, you made it through some stuff. You recognize my goodness, but I want you to be proud of yourself. And some of y'all don't look at yourself like that. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. The way you think determines how you are. If you see yourself as a loser, guess what? Be a loser. As you think, how are you thinking about yourself? That's why when the enemy tries to come in and mess with you on certain things, you ought to tell him, that's not me anymore. Resist him. And move on. You're talking to the old boy. I beat that mountain. Now I'm on this one. You got to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, he'll keep taking you back to the place of failure and revisit that place when you've already beaten it. Stand in your victory. Stand in it. He has good plans for me. Yes, he does have good plans for me. He keeps telling me he's got good plans for me. He does. You don't, but he does. You got to know who you are. You know, there was a couple days ago, I was looking at this church, and I said to myself, you know, this church, God has big plans for this church. Big plans for this church. For the sheer fact of the fight that's been on this church, the sheer fact of the magnitude of the people that have come through this house and what has taken place here and what he's built in this place, God has big plans for this church. And the enemy has done everything he can to try to silence people, try to get them just to sit, to not step up, but God has big plans for this house. Big plans. And their plans are coming. They're coming. And God keeps stirring it up and say, oh boy, you got to know who you are, know what you've been through. Because of the people that God is about to reach, he needed a group of people who are fighters. People who are just fighters. People who have been through some stuff. The whole stage. Listen, this whole stage is a testimony. Whole worship team is a testimony. The whole worship team. Everyone has a testimony of how God's good. He's been faithful because God uses broken people. It's a walk. It's a walk. I don't have it all together, but God said, it's okay. Keep walking. I'm still shaking, but I'm stabilizing you. I'm healing you as you do it. This is the beauty of a walk with me. We're doing it together, and I'm bringing healing and restoration in your life. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good. The latter is going to be greater than the former. Sometimes I can't even express it, but the latter is going to be greater than the former because the enemy is a liar. Everything you've been through, God's about to turn it around. Every thought that went awry, every plan that you said, it's not going to work out. Every gift, every promise that God said you can have, God said, it's coming in your life for the sheer fact that I'm good and that you said yes, that you said yes. Yeah, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I would just start praising God, it's coming. For all the stuff that you built in secret, for all that stuff you were fighting against, for all the thoughts you were tearing down, for every time you said yes when you wanted to say no, God said, I saw it and I'm pleased. Every time you cried, every time you whispered, I need you, he said, I heard you. Every time you felt like you were gonna fall off, I stabilized you. I've been there the whole time. I have good plans for you. I know the plans I have for you. I know the fight. I see the enemy. Don't discount what you've been through, and don't discount your beginning. It's time to walk. I feel God here today. Every time you let me in when you didn't want to, I was faithful. Every time the enemy said you couldn't do it and you did it anyway, I came through for you. Every time you said yes, I built in you something that is going to take you far in your life. I've got good plans for you. That's all saying to our feet. I'm in a prophetic right now. I've got good plans. There's nothing that the enemy can do that's going to stop you.
Amen.
Nothing.
That's right.
Nothing. I'm going to use him, and I'm using him to train you up so good. My spirit's about to unleash new rivers inside of you. And those rivers are going to come up, and they're going to overflow into areas of your life that you thought would never see life again. God said, I'm tapping you. I'm tapping you. And out of your body is going to flow living waters. Through death is going to come life. Yeah. Through all that stuff you've been fighting in secret, God said, I've been using it to build you. I've got good plans. All the nights that you cried, you didn't know where it was going to come from, God said, I was there, holding you, strengthening you. I was teaching you how to persevere. I was teaching you how to stand. I was teaching you how to cry out to me. I was teaching you what it meant to suffer. I need you to keep fighting. I need you to keep swinging. I need you to keep throwing what you know at your giants. I need you to keep staying in it because it's coming. The enemy knows he's losing. I'm going to unleash my spirit like never seen before on the earth. I'm going to unleash it. And I want my bride ready. I want my people ready. All that stuff that you relied on that I'm taking away because I want you to rely upon me. I want you to be ready. I've been building in you the stuff that you need to stand in it. Keep standing in it. Your breakthrough is coming. Your blessing is coming. I'm not throwing smoke at you. You might be seeing clouds. There might be some rain. There might be some prey. But I got you. Don't worry. I'm faithful. I'll reappear at the right time. I got you. All my promises are yes and amen. I'm true. I'm faithful. I'm going to come through for you. I've got good plans. Lord, for everyone in this house walking across to the next mountain, thank you, Lord, for your grace that's sufficient, that holds us together. Lord, everything that says we can't, we know that we can in you. Thank you that we can because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Thank you for that ability to say yes, even when we can't see, even when it's hard. Thank you for the ability to say yes, even when we're swaying back and forth, we can still say yes, because we know we stand on the firm foundation, and that's Jesus. Every lie, everything that the enemy has stolen, you said you're going to return. You're in the process of restoring even now. Thank you, Lord, that the latter is going to be better than the former, because he who promised is faithful. Thank you, God, for the ability to sweat it out just a little bit more so that you can build in us just a little bit more the ability to hold up under it, hold up under the blessing, hold up under the temptation. Thank you that in this house, people will last. And that they will endure to the end. And that they will receive that crown you promised in this life. And that they will walk in the promised land in this life. And that they will see their sons and daughters prophesy in this life. They will see wayward sons and daughters come back to salvation in this life. They will see financial breakthrough in this life. They will see your kingdom come and your will be done in this life. They will see a latter-day revival in this life. They will see mountains move in this life. They will see the dead raised back in this life. They will have a hope in this life that does not disappoint. There will be resurrection power that will walk and operate in their life in this life. There will be dreams and visions in their life in this life. There will be an unleashing of your spirit in this life. There will be resurrection power in this life. There will be things that come back into their life that they have lost in this life. God, raise them back up. Give them eyes to see when they can't see. There will be an outpouring in this life. They will get what you promised in this life. Everything they brought them through will be trophies. Of how good you've been. And it'll tell the world of your story, your redemptive story, of how you take dead things and bring them back to life, how you take broken things and how you fix, how you bring people out of depression and into joy. We honor you today. We bless you today for your goodness. Help us keep walking in Jesus' name. Amen.